Now Jesus is offering us this parable, which is kind of a double parable now. It's essentially, he's outlining the same thing in two different parts in two different ways, because maybe the first time they don't get it, and maybe it takes more than one saying of the same thing in a different way for them to get it. And to be honest with you, there's another way that he says it right after this that isn't included in this morning's reading. Now, it's a classic response that Jesus has to complaining Pharisees. And the Pharisees are complaining about this invitation that Jesus extends to these tax collectors and sinners. And I love how Luke separates tax collectors and sinners as if tax collectors are this completely different version of sinners, worse than the rest, meriting their own identity. Because, let's be honest, the tax collectors in Jesus' time were actually Jewish people who were collaborating with the Roman authorities. So there was a special place for them. And as you can imagine, the Pharisees didn't quite like it. But as we know from reading Paul, the Pharisees were not always that kind to the people of Israel, and we're not always that distant from people who represented the authorities, because Paul himself was a Roman citizen. And so the Pharisees are grumbling, as they always do, about the way that Jesus is conducting himself around these people. Imagine for yourself this holy Messiah, this person that has been put on a pedestal. Maybe you didn't put him there, but maybe people around you have put him there. And you want to believe that he is this all-wonderful person that's going to come save you. And so he should be hanging out with the priests and the Levites and the other important dignitaries. Kings, maybe. Just synagogue leaders. What is he doing with these tax collectors and sinners? And so Jesus lays out these two parables of lost things. Things that were precious to their owners that wound up missing. The first involves a lost sheep. And we love, you know, there's a reason why we talk about sheep and shepherds quite frequently in the Gospels. And it's not necessarily that the people that Jesus was talking to, or the people that Luke was talking to, are particularly pastoral. Most of them are urban people. Many of them don't even know what a sheep looks like. Maybe I might be overestimating there, but still, they didn't encounter people out in the wilderness that often. The wilderness was a dark and lonely place. It was a scary place, and you didn't want to go because things could find you. Beasts and robbers and all sorts of nasty things were out there in the wilderness. And this shepherd's, one of his sheep is out there, lost by itself. And the shepherd doesn't really have a problem leaving 99 alone to fend for themselves in the wilderness. Why is that? Because he trusts them? It's a little bit unusual to think that he's trusting this 99 sheep out in the wilderness, but he does, and they're not going to stray. But it's the one that's missing that makes it unique. It's not about the sheep itself. It's about the fact that it's missing, that it's not around, that the shepherd doesn't know where it was. And the fact that the shepherd finds the sheep, finally recovers it, that brings him great joy. Carrying it on his back and celebrating like there is no tomorrow with his friends and neighbors and loved ones. And as he finishes this parable, he talks about the joy that is in heaven over the lost soul, and how its having been found is that much greater than the joy of the 99 that have been lost. And Jesus isn't saying that there is no joy about these 99 individuals. Of course there's joy about them. But there has been joy about them. They've been there the whole time. But it's the one that's lost that brings the greatest joy. And then we move on to this woman who, probably a rich woman, if she's concerned about 10 coins, we can be sure that these coins are valuable coins. They're probably gold coins, which are worth quite a bit of money. And it's probably her life savings, but it's a lot of money. And then she's missing one of them. And she's wandering around frantically through her house, wondering where this lost coin is. And I'm sure she's accusing her servants and neighbors and friends, like, have you seen my coin? And so when she suddenly does find this, that she has brought great joy. Not only has she found it, but she's also, she can finally trust the neighbors and friends. She, you know, what she feared had not come to pass. Nobody stole this from her. It was just missing. And I know people know what that feels like, to think that somebody might have been taking something from you and you realize that you had had it missing all along. But both of these parables, their focus is on something lost. It's not on the something lost. The focus is not on what is lost. The focus is on who has lost it. What is lost can be likened to a lost soul. And the soul can be unrepentant for all that's concerned. The focus is on who lost each of these items. The shepherd and the woman, who rather than be concerned with what they have, would rather know that the missing objects are safe because they care. The shepherd feels love for his missing sheep. The woman who has these 9 coins, and you can bet that she's still secure with them, still yearns for the 10th one. And we might call it greed that she's yearning for this coin. But let us say that if we call it greed, that God is greedy for the lost souls. That God wants all of us, both righteous and those that are out there that are lost, to be with God. God loves all of us. It is in the losing of things that they become more precious, and the finding of those lost things that we are given joy. This morning, we find ourselves on the 15th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. The attacks that shocked the world and changed life as we knew it. I know, when we talk about things, when we talk about how we conduct ourselves and how we go out in the world and how we travel and how we do a lot of different things, there's before 9/11 and after 9/11. And it's one of those, and that's this, the kind of pivotal moment that those of us, at least those of us over the age of 20, everybody here, we can readily say where we were when the towers fell. And many people, even today, still find themselves searching for answers as to what was behind the attacks. I know that there was a 9/11 Truth Festival that still goes strong. Or we find ourselves wondering what kind of evil could have been ultimately underlying the attacks, still questioning why, when we know what we know about people, who could have done that kind of thing? Who would have done something like that? And also on this Sunday, we focus on the ELCA Day of Service, which we call God's Work, Our Hands, where we celebrate the fact that the work that we do in the name of God is with our hands. God uses us to do God's good work. And we remember those people who worked hard to save lives on September 11th, who put themselves in harm's way, many at the cost of their own lives. And we honor those who continue to do so today, like the Berkeley Police Department or the Berkeley Fire Department or all those other first responders that we have out there. I can name the Florida Highway Patrol that showed up right after my motorcycle accident on Tuesday. I was okay, but I thanked God that they were there right away, asking how I was doing, wanting to make sure that I was okay before I took myself off home. First responders are always seeking out people who are lost, who are in need, who are hurting. And many of the rest of us look for answers with the same kind of urgency about why evil takes place in the world and how we can find forgiveness when tragedy strikes. Because I know as Christians, we're told that we need to forgive and forgive and forgive. And sometimes we see terrible things happen to people, and it's hard for us to forgive. And finding that forgiveness is something that sometimes it seems we can only expect God to do for us. It's the only thing we can do is ask for God's help. Now, I think one of the biggest things that we seek is how to find peace between nations. And these days, the desperate, elusive peace that cannot even be found between political factions. I think some of us are desperately seeking. We're so tired of politics. We're tired of it. And even those of us that are well steeped in our faith, those of us that have an undying faith, those of us that have the strongest belief, confident in the promise of God for life everlasting, can find ourselves at times when we are desperate and searching for answers to some of these questions, lost and aimless. While we may believe ourselves during ordinary moments of the day considered among the 99 sheep or the 9 lost coins, we can easily, at the hardest and most critical moments, find that we are most in need of being rescued and being found. And like the tireless work of those firefighters and police on September 11th, 2001, and the efforts of care for those first responders today, the unequal dedication that God has in seeing our journey to its end and seeing us back in His cradle and mercy will not stop until God has gathered us together, all of God's children together. Sisters and brothers, we are called ourselves to the work of looking for the lost. That is something that as disciples of Christ, we are gathered together to do. And having engaged in that work, we understand that much more about how God works in the world. It is in God's promise of baptism that we find God's everlasting grace that empowers us to do God's work in the world, that gives us the strength and the impetus to do God's loving work, loving one another, helping others, finding the lost sheep, finding the lost souls. God gives that to us to do. And just as with Moses and the people of Israel, and just as with Paul as he wrote in his letter to Timothy, we don't have to look very far. We don't have to look far to find the times that God has made us blessed and given us a bright hope for the future and a promise of salvation. Sinners that you and I are made into saints through His sanctification. The good news, my sisters and brothers, is that the work that we do with our hands, imperfect hands that they may be, empowered by God's Spirit, is made over into God's work of justice, peace, and mercy. God does the hard lifting, looking to us, God's lost souls, looking for us and claiming us as His holy people. And when we fail to find what it is that we are seeking or find that we cannot handle, it is God who in that promise God made to us on our baptism that has found us and rescues us for his kingdom. A salvation that lasts world without end. Amen.